Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com. Let's touch on it. Let's move on to a slightly different area now, which is videos, which is obviously a sort of expansion of all the stuff we've talked about in some ways. I know that you do three types of videos: brand videos, product demo videos, spokesperson videos. There's already quite a lot to absorb. So what's the differences, and if you like, the use cases of those? When do we use these things?
So brand videos are like, a good example is like you're showcasing the customer of the brand, right? The lifestyle, the customer of a brand, like a Nike commercial isn't, every Nike commercial isn't exactly selling a specific sneaker. They're selling the brand, right? Their Uber commercials aren't selling a specific ride of Uber, right? They're selling the brand of Uber as it meets all of your transportation needs, right? From a private black Uber black to a ride share to a scooter to Uber, right? For example, a product demo video is actually demoing the product, like showing, like for example, with my rotating makeup brush client, showing how to use the product and proper use and every, you know, aspect or applicable aspect of the product. And it's not, so that, to be clear, that is not a review video. So a product video is not, or product demo video is not a influencer style review video or review of the product. It's just a demonstration of the product. So there should never be any, oh, I love this product. Oh, this is my favorite product or anything. There's no testimonial in the product demo video. It is, this is the product. This is how you use the product. And of course, in that video, you're going to use your aspirational customer. So your commercial model, it's aspirational in that video. And then the last one was, I'm sorry, it's a brand video, product demo video, and then the other one.
Spokesperson video.
And a spokesperson video is mainly face-to-camera video. These videos are generally used to sell a service. So, of course, you've seen it. Hi, I'm Daisy. I am representing your tax service 1-800, and I'm your salesperson or insurance today. Those are direct to camera videos that mainly sell services, but you also see them on product sites and on product pages. And also a lot of brands on Amazon have used the spokesperson video or spokesperson style video to demo the product. Hi, I'm Susan, and I'm here to show you today how to use a new Breville 1000 coffee maker. And so those are spokesperson / product demo videos. It's really about adding a persona and adding a brand representative to the demo video itself. Yeah, so that covers all three of them.
Wow, yeah, there's a lot to think about because this is obviously a far cry from the simple, I've got 9 images, how do I make use of them? So for somebody who's coming to this for the first time, a lot of people are now finally getting the option to use video on the Amazon listing, if nothing else, for the first time. So they're having to think about it, even if they're not doing Facebook advertising, YouTube, or anything more sophisticated. So what is the sort of starting point for this? Is it all about creating a brand video, or should it, what's the sort of meat and potatoes? Should they start with the product demo video and then work outwards from there?
Yeah, I think most people that are just starting out on Amazon, they don't have a brand yet. They just have a product. So you want a product demo video. What's important, and you want a real one, not a 3D one, because people can definitely, okay, you can tell with photos, but you can definitely tell with video that the product is 3D. And then if it's a video where the product is 3D, then it gives the impression to the consumer that the product isn't made yet, that the product is not real. And obviously a real product that is made is going to look different than it does on a 3D video, right? Where the product is not real, it's just a graphic. And so first of all, your product, you should use a real product. You should use a real, make a real video, not a 3D video. And in the demo video, your main thing obviously is showcasing the best assets of the product and the use case of the product. Again, lighting is very important, and also editing is very important. I've seen a lot of product demo videos on listings where they try to do it themselves and the editing is terrible. there's either way too much information or way too little information, or you end up showing some unflattering things about the product. And so having a good video is very important for your first product.
So you've touched on that with video, there's obviously so many dimensions to consider. I mean, I suppose we're shooting a kind of video now. If you're watching the YouTube video version, and there's the content, and of course we're not doing anything sophisticated with the visuals, but so what about the amount of content you put across then? What's your sort of rules of thumb for that?
So with Amazon, you mean like the amount of content you said?
Yeah, let's assume, sorry, I should give a specific context. Let's say we've got a 60-second demonstration type video that is going to go on a product listing. So it's going to appear after the photos have been looked at. What would you say is, how would you go about deciding how much information to put across and that kind of decision?
So I think that whatever you list as the product features in the copywriting section of the Amazon listing should be what is communicated in the video, as well as should be a guide for the photos. But in the video, I think it should definitely be communicated, which may mean that you are putting together more complex video than you need to or than you intend on doing, because there's a lot of information. But I think that what's important is that you're showing the use cases of the product. You're showing the product as it is itself in some kind of very attractive framework of either really good lighting or the background or a backdrop or something. But then also you're showing the use case of the product, clips of the use case of the product. I, for one, recommend people do voiceovers, have voiceovers done over the video instead of having a spokesperson or the talent actually talking direct to camera. So like right now I'm talking direct to camera. So I recommend that instead of that, you actually just have a voiceover on it or just music over it. It doesn't necessarily, you can use text and graphics to communicate an audible message. And most people watch the video on mute anyway, and while they're in the course of doing something else. So I don't think the sound is as important as the images are that you're using in the videos, the clips. And that's important, the use cases of it. So you're basically getting several clips together of how to use the product, and you're doing a lot of editing or good editing to make them seem seamless and flattering to make the video look really good.
That's interesting. So you're basically starting point is the features that you put in the bullets, and I guess you've only got five, so I suppose that gives you five basic ideas or benefits to put across. And then even so, that's going to be quite a lot involved, and your recommendation is music plus text and graphics. I guess it's both technically the easiest way to do it, and also you're less likely to mess it up, because I'm just imagining if you do QV style, hi, my name's Michael and I'm going to show you our wonderful juice master, it feels like if you're not careful you're back in the 80s in the TV world, yeah, in a very cheesy kind of way. That's what strikes me immediately. Yeah. Imagine that could get embarrassing.
yes, it can. And a lot of times, I mean, like the big brands do it. So I'll use the example of the Breville coffee maker, which I love coffee. I love coffee makers. And so they do it, right? Obviously, they're a big brand with a big studio. They make all their machines look gorgeous. They're stainless steel. And they, you know, hire a host and someone that's professional. There's a teleprompter there, so she's not like remembering everything word for word, and they have the dolly, so there's a nice like pan in to her speaking with, hi, I'm Susan from Breville, and all that stuff. And obviously you're not doing it at that scale, and so you don't need to have that kind of presentation. Again, I'm not also about overselling people something they don't need. So I think that's something that like a lot of people in my business do. We try to sell you something that you don't need. I'm not trying to oversell people something they don't need. And honestly, you don't need like to have this whole elaborate video shoot in order to make something that's usable, especially if this is your first product out. And you need room to improve. So the expectation that you're going to make this amazing video, you're going to have this like amazing world-class Oscar-worthy video the first time out, is just not the case. And I don't think it should be the goal. The goal should be that you have a good video that, or a great video that communicates your product and its use cases to your audience for your first time out, your first time around. And I say voice is less important unless you're going to do a voiceover and there's some important information that the customer needs to know. For an example, like one of the projects I'm working on right now is a video for a face roller. It's one of those face massage skin rollers that's supposed to stimulate collagen and relax the muscles in your face, and you put it in the freezer and then it's nice and cool on your skin. And so that video has voiceover because the points and the selling points of that product are better communicated with a very eloquent, nice voiceover, as opposed to on text over the image, because the image of the rolling is supposed to be the main draw for the customer. How good it looks, how benefits, it looks so luxurious, it looks so comforting and soothing. So putting the text over the video takes away from the customer paying attention to the rolling, the device massaging the face, but the voiceover adds to the effect, the sales effects of it being soothing and relaxing. So you want to have a voiceover that is almost like selling a perfume. It's luxurious. It's like Calgon, take me away, kind of. I can't believe I went back to Calgon, take me away, kind of effect to it.
Wow. So there's obviously a lot involved here. And I really like your advice. The more you talk about this, more, I think, starting with a simple-ish product demo video and having the humility or the patience to go, the first one out may not be that great. And it's okay, because you can get better over time. And I guess you and your, even if you hire a really great professional, you may not communicate very well to them because you're not used to thinking those terms. And sort of moving video visuals are even more advanced to think of than just creative photos, right?
And also products evolve, and also your content should evolve. So eventually, like my customer, the rotating brush client, they had version 1 of the brush, and now they have version 2 of the brush. And then as they expanded, and they started on Amazon as well, so I'm using them as an example because they're the epitome of an Amazon brand. They started on Amazon. And then eventually, they grew to different regions. So they needed more content that related to different regions around the world. So they went to Asia, and they broke down that market from India to China. And so they need different content for those different markets. And their version 1 video is way different, and obviously have more money. So it's actually their version 2 is really awesome. It's fancy. And they went from version 1 to version 2. So your first time out, it's not to assume that this is going to be a one and done. And if you sell well, you're going to want to do a version 2. Or an ancillary product maybe. And so you're going to have a bigger budget. You're going to want more things. It's natural just to want more things that are going to attract the viewer. So, yeah.
I think what you're saying, I guess, it's kind of obvious, but yet from the outside, probably not. Which is to say that this is a process. You're going to get better over time. Your products will develop. Your business will get more money. You'll want to aspire to higher and higher production standards. And I guess what you're saying is start simple and then develop, which is always good advice. But it's good to have some concrete examples of what you mean. So we better wrap it there, because I think there's a lot for people to take on board already. We'll definitely get you back on to talk about... We'll talk about video again. I think as it evolves, there is going to be more sophistication, more need for complex input. I feel at this stage, most people I know are only just beginning to grapple with the entire concept of getting video in product marketing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep it at a fairly simple level for somebody of your sophistication. And we've got to talk about influencers with your OneFazen Influencers agency as well. But for now, let's sort of wrap this in a bow. The main things for people to take away, what you can give us if people are just starting out with video, even if they, let's say somebody who's been selling on Amazon for a while, their photography is pretty decent, they know what they're doing, they have a bit of money to spend, what is your sort of takeaway for them in videos in a few simple words?
Get a content partner. Again, I've said this on a few of your interviews, is get a content partner. If you, like, for the people that are more experienced, that have experience doing photos, if you have experience doing video and you're good at doing video, by other people's opinion, not by your own opinion, then by all means, give it a shot. Nothing beats a failure than a try. But definitely get a content partner. Break apart the benefits of your product, break it down, get some kind of idea, get some samples of videos that you like, that you want yours to be like. It doesn't have to be exactly the same. Inspiration always helps. Having a format model always helps. And be patient. Don't make it too long. 30 seconds to 60 seconds is good. And put it out there and see what happens. Nothing beats a failure than a try, and you've got to put it out there in order to see if it's going to work. Again, getting a content partner and getting organized in what you want and how you want to see it executed.
Yeah, that all sounds very good stuff. Well, I can hear in the background some exciting things going on in LA there. There's like police sirens and helicopters. Maybe we got to leave you to go and check that you guys are staying safe. But it's been a very interesting talk. I know that you've got a little booklet about the basics of photography, which I think is still very much worth revisiting based on the listings that I've seen so often that people who otherwise should know better have pretty poor photography. So that's at amazingfba.com/my-product-model. Can you just tell us briefly about your guide?
Yes, it's a guide that helps you understand the photo producing process, the production process of creating photos. It shows you what is a good photo using similar products. So for example, there's an example of like shoes side by side, two different e-commerce sellers selling a shoe, and what makes a bad photo in one listing or one photo, what makes a bad photo composition, and the competing brand selling pretty much the same exact shoe and why their photo is better. I give you several examples of this and what it takes logistically, what it takes equipment-wise to get good photos, and the benefits of it, and what the perceived belief is about creating photos versus the reality of it. And we use this guide to help consumers or help sellers actually make better decisions about photos. It's like a Q&A for us because we get asked a lot of the same questions over and over again. So in our guide, we're answering all the questions that you may have about creating photos and should you do it yourself versus outsourcing it. And it's just really like tries to just simplify it in a very easy to read, very quick read. You can read it in less than a day and walk away with a general understanding of what's involved with taking great photos, and also with helping you make a decision about whether you're going to do it yourself or whether you're going to have a content partner.
Great. Well, that sounds like a very, very practical and useful thing, particularly if it's come out of your conversations with real clients. That's always the acid test, right? If somebody comes out of a conversation with somebody and multiple times the same questions come up, then that's going to be the stuff that you really, really need to know. So that sounds great stuff. Well, look, Daisy, it's been a pleasure as ever to talk through this stuff, and your deep thinking about marketing never ceases to amaze me. So it's been great to talk, and good luck in LA. It sounds like exciting things are happening post-election. Good luck with that exciting environment you're in right now, and been a real pleasure to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com.